From Montreal, Canada, it's the Travel World Radio Show.
All aboard!
Travel World. Liberty Works Radio Network.
There will be no Pete Nani on this show.
911 has been changed to a non-published number.
Oh, push that button.
Ah, yes, we're back.
Will and Baggis and Stephen Pickford and Yoav Sarav Studio. Welcome back to Travel World for the year 2001. Brand new year for us. Isn't
new
this fantastic?
Year, new guests, new topics, lots of things to discuss this year
fresh
on Travel World.
Strong. We had a great year last year, and we're going to be even stronger and better this year.
Yep, we're discussing a number of different destinations over the coming weeks. Being close at home with the opening of the Ice Hotel, and
the Hypothermia Hotel.
We'll be sending one of our correspondents.
No, we do have to be nice about it. Yes. It probably is a very nice place, and there are a lot of people lining up. Please, just by virtue of the fact that they're coming to Canada as tourists, I welcome them.
And, and we'll be talking about that. We also journey a little further afield than the Northeast.
It's another M destination.
M
so
destination.
That must mean, drum roll, everybody, Melanie Rapids is back on the air with us.
Today talking about Malaysia, one of those tropical paradises.
Just before we get to Melanie, I just want to make a little sidebar that our own Yoav Sarabo has elevated himself to the status of webmaster for us because through his work, check out our website, twc.ca, that's www.twc.ca, and check out a work in progress. I think it's very nice. You'll enjoy what we've seen. Even in past shows, for instance, like November, you'll see some pictures of some places that we've been.
And there's links to destinations we've traveled to, and over the coming weeks, information on the correspondents, the people you hear, you'll learn more about them.
Sure.
Work they've done, and see what they actually look like.
Which means some of Melanie's fabulous photos from Mexico and Malaysia, which this time around, we're going to hope to post some of them, because I'm sure some of them are spectacular with the vegetation and whatnot.
Oh, yes. Malaysia is a country of natural warmth, friendliness, a true Southeast Asian melting pot, and she's with us now, Melanie Reffes, to give us some more information on Malaysia. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, and Happy New Year to all three of you.
Happy New Year, Melanie.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
I'm glad, Willem, that you mentioned Yoav's wonderful, wonderful webmaster work. It's a fabulous website, and I encourage all of our listeners to click on whenever they like, because as you say, there's all kinds of past shows, information, phone numbers. It's really great. I love it myself. I mean, it's as objective as I am. It's a great, great website. So congrats, Yoav. You did a great job. I'm looking forward to it being a work of completion, which should be pretty soon, I imagine.
I hope so.
Well, we all hope so, actually.
I'm like a perfectionist, so it could take years.
No, that would be the last webmaster that we had. Yeah, the last girl who all told us, yeah, we'll have it up in a couple of days, yes.
Mm. Yeah, this is really great. It's just chock full of information. I quite highly suggest to all of us to just click on a regular basis. You don't even have to grab a pen when we give the phone numbers out now, because you can always go back and write them down at your leisure. So great job, all of you, on the web. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Much appreciated.
And you are right about Malaysia being a wonderful country of natural warmth and a country of continuing photo opportunities. It's just really, really beautiful. I mean, it's probably one of the most beautiful places I've actually ever been. It's surreal in many respects. It's got a mix of the old and the new, and it is, as you said, Stephen, a cultural melting pot, probably the best example of that in the world, or one of them. It's a very racially diverse country. And everyone lives very harmoniously together, respecting all kinds of customs and etiquette and varying holidays and celebrations. And spin-offs from that, of course, are that the food is fabulous, because you get a mix of all of the ethnicities, which are Indian and Chinese and Malay, of course. So the food is really quite, we're always looking for Malaysian restaurants in whatever city we might be in. And when you get the real thing in Malaysia, it's quite wonderful.
Now, I heard, Melanie, that you're one for spices and whatnot. Did you have any sambal in the food that you had?
I did indeed, and it can be quite pack quite a punch. And in fact, some of some of the locals were telling me that a good way, because it is in fact a very warm country. Let me just give you a little bit of sort of a geographical setup. Malaysia is 7 degrees north of the equator, meaning that temperatures are in the 90s or in the 30s if one uses the Celsius scale all the time, day and night. And it can get rather humid, and eating the hot and spicy food actually reduces your body heat.
So they say that, yeah.
It cools your body, and what else cools your body is drinking coconut water, which is all over the place because coconut trees, palm trees are everywhere, and they slice, hack off the top of it and put a straw in it, and the coconut water cools actually your body temperature down. So
I want to ask you, Melanie, about the coconut water. I just saw the movie Castaway. Tom Hanks makes the observation that coconut milk or coconut water is a natural laxative. Is that true?
Well, I can't say whether that's true or not, but I think it might be some validity to it. The main benefit of coconut, to me, I mean, it tastes delicious, but it really cools you off. I mean, you stop sweating when you drink it, so you're seeing people sipping coconut pretty well on every street corner. And the red chilies and the sambals and all the other foods also lower body temperature. So when you're hot and sweaty over there, just grab a hot meal and a coconut and you'll feel at least 10 degrees cooler than you actually are. So it's kind of a little tip when you get to those tropical countries. As I said, it's 7 degrees north of the equator and it's on a peninsula, and the top of it is Thailand, which is in the north, and then the southern tip of it is Singapore. And Indonesia lies further across the Straits of Malacca, and Brunei is directly east. So it's right, you know, in the middle of a whole lot of other countries. People take sidebar trips to Thailand and Singapore all the time. There's shuttles that run quite continuously. It's a very compact sort of area. I was only on the western coast of Malaysia, but there is an eastern coast as well, with two states called Sarawak and Sabah, which some of our listeners might have heard of. They're on the island of Borneo, and that's where a lot of the ecotourism and eco-traveling is done, and I think I'll probably try to head back to the east coast at some point. But I did stay on the west, and the west is where Kuala Lumpur is, which is, I think, probably the most noted city in Malaysia. Everybody over there calls it KL, so we'll have to go with the locals and call it KL. It's the capital, it's the commercial and busy hub of the whole country. 21 million rather people live there, mostly Muslim. It's a Muslim country. Islam is the primary religion, about 55%, and then right under that is Chinese, about 30%, and about 10% Hindus, and the rest are indigenous or expats or any combination of the above. So it is truly a cultural melting pot, really extraordinaire, quite something.
Now, you made Kuala Lumpur your first stop in the country, which is a good way to acclimatize yourself to the culture.
I did, in fact, do that. You're quite right. As everybody pretty well flies into KL, 40 airlines go into the airport at KL, which is KLIA is the short form for the Kuala Lumpur International Airport. It's a massive, modern, efficient airport. It's quite incredible how smooth everything runs there. And I don't know, Stephen, you probably would know better than I on this, but I tend to go with the national airlines of the country that I'm going to. I think they have better landing rights, and just as better, they have, I guess, the predominant presence in the airport, so there's less waiting. And in this case, it's Malaysian Airlines, which is a very, very user-friendly way to get over to Malaysia from North America. They leave pretty well every day from either Newark or from Los Angeles.
Melanie, hold that thought, because we're going to take a break right now. And
stay listening to Travel World on the Liberty Works radio network across America via satellite.
Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Travel World will continue.
Travel World Radio Show.
There's something happening out there.
Can you feel it? Feel it?
There's a move away from fabricated foods and pasteurization,
and toward the embracing of healthy food choices. What exactly are you eating?
What constitutes a healthy snack? Do artificial sweeteners affect my sleep patterns?
The answers await you on Barefoot Health with Dr. Steve Weston and Janet Miles, Sundays, 5 p.m. Eastern.
On this station and Liberty Works Radio.
It's your body. You need to know. The truth behind the income tax. Finally, a video which can explain to you the misconceptions of Social Security numbers and employment taxes. Tired of big government draining your family's financial resources? Tired of you and your spouse having to sometimes work more than one job each just to plug that drain? The truth behind the income tax. An eye-opening video, yours for only $24 postpaid. Order now. Make check or money order payable to Liberty Works Radio Network and mail it to The Truth Behind the Income Tax, 12 Carroll Street, Westminster, Maryland, 21157. Order now. Learn the lawful way to keep the government's hands out of your pockets. Learn the misconceptions of Social Security numbers and employment taxes. Order now. The Truth Behind the Income Tax, 12 Carroll Street, Westminster, Maryland, 21157. Order now. The Truth Behind the Income Tax, just $24 postpaid.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately? Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe Ultra Memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra Memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra Memory will help you live a full, functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call Ultra Memory Brain Tonic. To try Ultra Memory risk-free, call 1-800-952-3494. Call now and save an additional 20%. 1-800-952-3494. That's 1-800-952-3494. Overweight? Tried to lose weight? Find it impossible? You should know that dieting will never work because there is no such thing as willpower. According to the Federal Center for Disease Control, the concept that willpower will lead to weight loss is a myth and responsible for a sharp increase in obesity. There are hardcore dieters that have gone through life-threatening procedures such as stomach stapling and liposuction. It's all unnecessary. Fat Destroyer, a new easy-to-take herbal supplement, will eliminate fat, ugly cellulite, and a fat gut safely with no hunger pangs at all. Fat Destroyer naturally burns away fat. A miracle. Fat Destroyer is based on research done at Harvard University and other leading research centers, and even written up in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Lose weight the only way that works. To try Fat Destroyer risk-free through this special radio offer, call 1-800-851-5313. To achieve your weight loss goals, don't delay. Call 1-800-851-5313. That's 1-800-851-5313.
30. Give your child the edge they need. For an informed and experienced look at the issues concerning our children's futures, tune in Saturdays for Education 15. 2000, the only word in education talk radio. Education 2000, Saturdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Liberty Works Radio.
Got to enjoy it. Melissa Etheridge, always to boost the ratings.
Ratings go up and up. Stephen Pickford, Willem Backus, Yoav Saralbo here in studio on Travel World.
But it's a water destination. You see, Malaysia.
It's surrounded, yeah.
Actually, this interesting thing about Malaysia, okay, in Malaysia, Indonesia, the whole area, my parents were born and raised in Indonesia, one on Java, one on Sumatra. It used to be a colony of Holland. That's right.
You have the connection to the area. Getting to Malaysia, you're halfway around the world, but how long did it actually take you to get there, Melanie? Were you, like, totally zapped when you got off the flight?
Yeah, it is. It is definitely far. It's about 20 hours or so. If you take Malaysian Airlines, which I quite highly recommend, the food, by the way, is quite good on it. You leave from either L.A. or from Newark. I left from L.A., and it's about 11 hours to Narita Airport in Japan, where you get off the plane for about an hour or so, where they refuel, and you can walk around and sort of stretch and get a bit of fresh air, whatever fresh air is in the airport. And then there's another 6 hours to Kuala Lumpur. So it is a long haul. If you leave from Newark, it stops at Dubai, and it's the same hour or two stop. But Dubai, of course, has the largest duty-free store on the planet, so I guess it's easier to kill a bit of time Dubai than it is in Tokyo.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much of a mood people are into duty-free shop in the middle of the night. But the only thing I can say with these long-haul flights is that you really, really try to sleep. And some people find it extremely difficult. Somebody had suggested that I take two Gravol, which would make me sleep, not anything to do with nausea,
right?
But just for sleeping, and I tried it, and it worked like a charm. So a little plug for Gravol. If you can get to KL or any of these Asian cities, these long trips, and you have slept, then the acclimatization period is much shorter, as you know, and you can sort of get on the business of vacation or business, whatever you're there for, quicker if you have a little bit, if you have a little rest in your bones. Otherwise, you're so disoriented. The other thing, of course, with Malaysia is it's a different day. You cross the date line, so there's a bit of adjustment altogether on the whole trip. But as I say, sleep is the key. And as Stephen, as you pointed out, the best thing to do is go to Kuala Lumpur, of course, the big city, and then stay there for a couple of days, just so you get sort of used to the climate and the exotic nature of Malaysia, the money, you get a bit of rest. Kuala Lumpur is a wonderfully easy city to navigate, so you get sort of in the swing of the local rhythm, and it makes the rest of the trip much more enjoyable.
It's a city of contrast because they have everything from very modern to the old-fashioned central market. You've got everything there in Kuala Lumpur.
You have everything indeed in Kuala Lumpur. Let me tell you that it's about 243 square kilometers, or about 90-something square miles for anyone who converts. It's about 35 kilometers from the coast, and it has nearly 2 million people there. So, and it's very Western in its appearance. It strikes you as you've come all this distance, and you're in a very congested, crowded, almost Western-looking city. And there are many, many things to do. The Central Market, as you said, is wonderful. It was started something like in the 1930s, and it's open every day of the year, 9:30 to 9:30, and there's all kinds of stalls of handicrafts and things to buy and great food. I should add, too, that the Central Market is air-conditioned, which when you're over there is a big ticket item.
If you
go in a building and it's air-conditioned, it's like you walk in and it's, oh, my goodness, I can easily spend an hour or two there. So it's a great marketing ploy on their part to air-condition it.
How humid is it outside when you go?
It's almost 100% humidity in some parts of Malaysia, actually. So it can get
that's,
a bit
That's
warm.
Brutal.
It can get warm, but it's a lovely feeling, I must say. I mean, particularly from, when you come from the Northeast, as we do, to go over there and be so unencumbered without the layers of clothing, and the sun is always shining. It rains a bit in the afternoon, but it's very, very pleasant.
Melanie, let me ask you another thing about the whole ambiance there, not so much the ambiance, but in terms of habits. My parents told me when they were growing up in the area that it was normal for most people to kind of close up shop at around 11 and come back to work at around 2. And for those hours, they would go home and have a nap or something like that at the hottest hours of the day. Did you notice that things kind of slowed down or closed a little bit for midday and revved up?
I think that I didn't notice that at all, but somebody had mentioned that to me when I was over there, that was sort of years ago when air conditioning wasn't as prevalent as it is today. And because everything is air conditioned, I mean, literally everything is air conditioned, every car, every building, even little hole-in-the-wall restaurants are air conditioned, that the sort of siesta sensibility isn't really that necessary because it's cool inside.
Right.
There's so many malls and so many cafes, and you can get out of the heat every 2 minutes if you want to. So it's quite manageable that way. And then when you get back into the heat, it's just lovely, I must say. It's very, very pleasant. Willem, there's something in KL you would particularly enjoy, because I know you're a fan of interesting and wonderful architecture, but
sure.
Kuala Lumpur is the home to the largest twin towers in the world.
Really?
I was very, very surprised.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah, I heard about that. How tall are they?
They're incredible. They're steel and glass. They're 450. It's 451 meters above the sea level, and it's 88 floors. And as I say, it's the highest twin tower in the world. It's owned by the national gas company Petronas in KL, and there's a lot of offices and things in it. But it's just opened to the public in 1999. It was finished in 1997. I'm sorry?
How does that compare to, say, the World Trade Center, for instance, in New York City?
Actually, I'm not sure how it compares in terms of height, but it is because they're twin towers, so it's the tallest twin towers. The movie Entrapment with Sean Connery was filmed in the twin towers.
Wow.
There's a free there's a viewing floor on the 41st floor rather, which is an incredible view. And the elevator, which is so high-tech, takes less than 1 minute to get up all the way to the top. So I quite highly recommend a tour of the Twin Towers. Get there really early. The lineups form quite early in the morning. Everybody wants to see the city from that incredible view. And there's a revolving restaurant on the top, which I highly recommend. It is fabulous. It's a buffet situation, and it moves one rotation each hour. And each table has a number on it, written very in large numbers, so that if you get up to go to the ladies' room or to the buffet or something, you can find your table.
When you come back, where the moving.
Yeah.
Sit at the wrong table. Say, I don't know these people. Do they come with
it's
the
funny.
Restaurant?
Yeah, because you see all these people wandering, some of them looking a bit befuddled, looking for number 22 or 23, and because they're used to it, so they put the numbers rather large on the table. But what a treat it is to see the whole city from that high up. It's great.
The CN Tower in Toronto also revolves at one revolution per hour. It's about the same.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Is that the CN Tower restaurant? You know, I've eaten there, and I've eaten in the one in Malaysia, and the CN Tower, you know, God love our Toronto listeners, but it doesn't hold a candle to the Twin Towers.
Well, that's because you're a Montrealer. I mean, Montrealers say that about Toronto things, but still,
they do, but
the CN Tower is a nice place.
I like to think I'm an objective journalist, Willem, and I can easily tell you.
Come on, we're Travel World. How objective
we
are we?
We are, but and the CN Tower is fun, but truly, when you go up to the Twin Towers in KL, the CN Tower is a little midget of a building. So,
pales by comparison. Well, mostly probably as well because it's more exotic in Malaysia, and you're far at the other side of the world. And what are some of the other things that you'd recommend other than visiting the Twin Towers or going to the Central Market? What else can we do when we hit Kuala Lumpur?
Right next to the Central Market is Chinatown, and that's a big area. And as I mentioned, there's a large portion of Chinese people in Malaysia, so Chinatown is a bustling little area. I suggest go at night, after 6 o'clock at night, not during the day. They close the streets at night to cars, and it turns into a giant flea market. If anyone's been to Hong Kong or even the Lower East Side of New York, you would understand what this kind of feeling is like, but it's so much fun for shopping. I picked up some major bargains in Chinatown, major bargains. You got to keep your eyes open, keep your wallet close to you like you do in any big city, but a lot of great food in Chinatown at night, a lot of street action, you know, it's great for people watching. So that's a really fun thing to do. There's also Little India. And Little India is similar to Chinatown, but I suggest you go to Little India during the day. It's very, very crowded with outside cafes and shopping and people sitting on benches and playing cards. And I even saw a bunch of Indian men who were using leeches to cure people's medical ailments of some sort. It takes impurities out of the blood. So it's a little creepy to see, but quite interesting. You can pick up some gold jewelry at rock-bottom prices, silk scarves, all kinds of handicrafts. Indian food is unbelievable. I mean, if you want Indian food, you go to Little Italy. In Little India, it's absolutely incredibly vibrant. Right next to Little India, or a couple of minutes walk from there, is the big Independence Square. And it's a huge manicured lawn with an amphitheater, sports, cricket is played there. It's really a beautiful oasis in the middle of the city. They're very strict about the rules, and one of them that I saw posted was you get a fine if you're hugging anybody in the
hugging.
Independence Square.
Well, we're going to continue with more on Malaysia after we take a break at half past the hour for News Update with Mark Allen at Liberty Works News Central. Number for Malaysian Airlines, we talked about them earlier, 1-800-552-9264. That number will be posted on our website at www.twc.ca. Mark Allen is next. Stay listening to Travel World.
You're listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Stay listening. Liberty Works Radio Network. Travel World Radio Show via satellite.
This is Liberty Works Network News. I'm Mark Allen. Just as he's almost out of office, President Clinton has ordered retooling the country's counterintelligence efforts to take account of new espionage threats and protect the private sector, according to the White House. The order will establish a new top government position, a national counterintelligence executive, charged with overseeing activities between the FBI, the CIA, and other agencies, and making sure they have enough money. A Security Council spokesman said Clinton signed the order late in December with a view toward addressing a changing espionage environment in which computer hackers can steal government and corporate secrets. The District of Columbia Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled against a power company from Southern California in their lawsuit demanding the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission return cost-based rates in the state's troubled wholesale electricity market. The court denied a request demanding that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission conduct a rehearing on the issue by the 17th of January. The number two automaker, Ford Motor Company, has recalled more than 300,000 1995 and 96 model Ford Contour and Mercury Mystique small sedans because the engine can overheat and possibly catch fire. The recall affects vehicles equipped with the 2.5-liter V6 engines built between April 1994 and December 1995. A Ford spokesman said there have been reports of nearly 150 fires because of the problem. No deaths, one injury, one person burned their hand. The bearings on the cooling fan might be too tight, which could cause excessive heat and possibly lead to a fire. That's the news on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Never in history has it been more important to know and understand the law, especially if you're in business. But while you may know all there is to know about widgets, you're no lawyer, which is why savvy businessmen and women are turning to ACS, American Contracting Services, and the reason? We understand the law. ACS writes and implements employee contracts with full knowledge of and compliance with the tax statutes and regulations in force in all 50 states. Payroll administration is one of the most costly and time-consuming hassles, just keeping up with annual changes can be a full-time job. Make this the day you unencumber your business and discover the many benefits of employee contracting. Call American Contracting Services at 801-741-8356 or see them on the web at www.americancontracting.com. If writing just one check per pay period appeals to you, call ACS today at 801-741-8356. American Contracting Services, making business simpler. 801-741-8356.
No one can deny the benefits of nutritional supplements, but sometimes they just cost too much for us to take everything we need. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was someone who offered enzymatic therapy, Future Biotics, Twin Labs, and almost 100 other major name brands at up to 50% off suggested retail price? Well, now there is. American Health Food combines the convenience of catalog shopping with lowest prices on factory fresh, top name brand vitamins, minerals, herbs, and other nutritional supplements. To get your free catalog and start saving money, call 1-800-858-2143. and receive free shipping on your first order. That's 1-800-858-2143. Take the American Health Food Challenge. Get the catalog and see how much you would save on the brands you already know and use. Not synthetics or no-name generic equivalents, but your favorite name brands. American Health Food has been doing business for 21 years and has over 100 companies. Call them at 1-800-858-2143. That's 1-800-858-2143.
Baby, tell me, does she love you like the way I love you? Does she stimulate you, attract and captivate you? Tell me, does she miss you, existing just to kiss you like the way I do?
Yes, obviously it's a rating split.
Yes, next book will be out soon, I guess. Stimulate the ratings. Stephen Pickford, Willem Beck is Yoav Saralbo. We're back on Travel World with Melanie Reffes, reporting on Malaysia this week. We're talking about some of the things to see and do in Kuala Lumpur, and we were also talking about the food. We were saying earlier to fly Malaysia Airlines for the excellent in-flight
cuisine.
She
said it was really good.
Oh, yes, and to go on a journey that length, it is a recommendation to fly on the national flag carrier, because you get that whole feeling of the country that you are visiting with the in-flight crew, and they really want to welcome you to their homeland. They're happy you're traveling with them.
When you're on a flight that's that long, there's got to be a whole experience, like a couple of movies and a bunch of meals and things. How is it done, Melanie? How is that flight experience on Malaysian Airlines?
It's really very well orchestrated, I must say, on such a long flight. And you're right, there has to be a whole lot of diversions to just get you through it. As I said, I left from L.A. and it stopped in Japan. And what was really great about that was they had one of the meal choices was a Japanese meal, because a lot of their passengers are getting off in Japan and are, of course, Japanese. And that's a really great kind of food to eat on a plane, because it's very healthy and it's not heavy and it's filling. So that was a nice bonus to find an option of a Japanese meal. There are individual screens, so you can pick a movie, and there were pretty good ones, I must say. So that kind of killed the time. And their in-flight magazine is very thick and full of all kinds of great things to read. I think I had it memorized by the end of the trip. But you sort of get in a bit of a rhythm. You get a dinner going to Japan, and then you get a light meal, and then you get a breakfast from Japan to KL. So you're not hungry at all. You're not overly full. And as I said, if you manage to sleep, you're fine. I left L.A. at 12:15 on Saturday, and I got into KL at about 1 in the morning on Sunday, which is really good, because you go right to the hotel and you sleep, because it's 1 in the morning local time.
Right.
And then when you wake up, you wake up a couple of times, because your body clock's obviously not adjusted yet. But once it's around 9 o'clock in the morning, you're pretty well almost in the swing of things. And there's so many great cafes in KL that you just get a good jolt of that coffee, and you're good for the whole day. So,
what are some of your hotel and restaurant picks when you're there?
Well, I stayed in a few hotels in KL, and as we said, it's a Western city with a lot of Western hotels and, of course, a lot of Malaysian ones. I quite highly recommend the JW Marriott, which all of our listeners, of course, are familiar with.
Oh, bigger shots, stay at Marriott.
It's a big, beautiful hotel, and they're very helpful with tourists trying to get over jet lag. Actually, they do, you know, will give you herbal teas and that hot towels, that kind of thing when you check in. And it's also in the area called the Golden Triangle, which is all of the hotels and many, many, many shopping malls. Many shopping malls with very high levels of air conditioning. So you can take a stroll in the morning from the Marriott, and right, it's in fact connected to a beautiful mall, and they're all over the place in that area.
I can't figure out why Stephen is laughing when we say Golden Triangle.
I was thinking of Pittsburgh, actually.
Yes.
A lot of cities actually have a Golden Triangle, but the
Good
Marriott
point.
Is in the Golden Triangle in KL. The other one, Stephen, that's really great is called the Legend, and the Legend is also in downtown KL, but not in the Golden Triangle area, but in another interesting area, more of an Indian one, and it's a very, very, very great hotel. It's tall and big, and it has, by the way, the legendary Monkey Bar, which there's one in New York as well, but the one in the Legend is quite infamous and famous and definitely worth a stop.
Stephen remembers the Monkey Bars when we went to Philadelphia.
A hotel we stayed at had actually monkey bars in a room so you could exercise in the room.
We're getting the property tour, and I'm swinging around on the monkey bars instead.
I think I should say that the monkey bar in the Legend Hotel, there is a type of monkey called a macaque monkey, which is indigenous to Malaysia, and they're all over the place. You see these macaques. They're really cute, actually, and you see them all over the place. Don't touch them, mind you. They have a thing for Coca-Cola cans, and they'll snatch it out of your hands. But I think that's maybe why they named this the monkey bar. But it's a great little quiet bar. A lot of people frequent it. As far as food, I mentioned Little Italy, and there's Little India, and there's a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant there called the Shipra Curry, which I kind of ambled upon, and it's an authentic Indian, really sort of hole-in-the-wall, no other way to describe it, but the food is incredible, and it's about $1 for a complete meal. So I don't think it gets much better than that. It's not a touristy restaurant, so anyone finding themselves in Little India, be sure to locate the Shipra Curry House. It's great. The other one I found, which is good, is called Passage Through India, and they serve everything on a banana leaf, if you can imagine, no cutlery, and wonderful curries, very spicy, and a lovely, lovely ambiance inside, very Indian, run by an Indian family. So I quite recommend that one as well. Needless to say, as you said, Willem, there is no shortage of food in Malaysia. I didn't have a bad meal anywhere in Malaysia. I had great Chinese food, great Indian food, native Malay food. There's food everywhere.
Have you tried like the Indonesian cuisine? Things like nasi goreng or krupuk or things like serundeng, for instance, which is fried coconut with peanuts in it.
I did have that. I had a lot of Indonesian food, and it's very spicy. It's very, very well prepared. There's an awful lot of pride, you can see, put into the preparation of food in Malaysia, as in many Southeast Asian countries, I'm sure. But certainly in Malaysia, there's a lot of pride and thought. All the ingredients are fresh because of the climate. They grow all kinds of wonderful fruits and vegetables, and the expertise is there because the Indians and the Chinese live so well together that restaurants are frequented by both and by tourists, and everything is very friendly for anyone wanting a quick bite. You can eat all day there, basically, and it's really good.
Which is why Melanie out there, because no one better qualified than you.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that honor bestowed. It's quite
to sample those cuisines, and then after Kuala Lumpur, you didn't just stay there. You went on to visit more of the countryside, and you visited the island of Penang.
I did. I headed north. I took a flight. Malaysian Airlines has inter-Malaysian flights to everywhere, and they're really reasonably priced. So I suggest anyone wanting to fly around the country use Malaysian Airlines. Penang is about 45 minutes away from KL. It's northwest of the city. A lot of our listeners might know Penang as sort of a hippie retreat from the 70s. It's not quite hippie-ish anymore. It's more of a beach resort. It's a beach stretch. It's about 40 minutes from the airport. And it's really beautiful. The waters are crystal clear. There's all kinds of things to do that are related to water sports. The shopping in Penang, the streets at night turn into street markets. And you can shop till you drop, honestly. It's an incredibly fun experience. Pick up some great batik bargains. Batik, of course, being the cloth everybody wears in Malaysia, the wax dye design is beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it for batik. I mean, batik is like an art form.
It is indeed. In fact, there's a place called the Eastern Batik Factory. It's called Malaysia East Coast Batik Factory, and you can take a free tour. It's in KL, and then they have a wholesale shop at the back of it. So that's a good place to pick up batik bargains. But in Penang, it's all over the place. In fact, I stayed at the Holiday Inn in Penang on the beach resort, and a little tip for any of our listeners going over there, there's a secondhand batik store, like a Seconds, right across the street from the Holiday Inn. And, you know, unless you really know batik, you don't recognize a mistake, but they take such pride in their batik that they don't sell them that have a little wax dropping that's an error,
right. Except
in this store. And you can pick up some really beautiful bargains there, like under $5 for a dress or a shirt or something like that. There's a lot of great things to do in Penang. I mean, you can sit by the water the whole time, and mind you, there's nothing wrong with that. But the best thing I love doing, and this will answer your coconut laxative question, Willem, but there's something called the Penang Tropical Fruit Farm, and it's 25 acres growing 140 types of exotic fruits. They'll give you a tour.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Such a fun tour to take. These tour guides are like stand-up comics, and they'll give you all kinds of uses of fruits, like papaya is the laxative, actually.
Is it?
Nutmeg is for arthritis. You eat a star fruit, your blood pressure gets lowered. And if you iron on a banana leaf, your clothes come out really clean and really shiny. Who would have figured? And if you put avocados all over your skin, you look like a 15-year-old. It takes all the wrinkles off. So it's a really fun afternoon excursion to go to the Penang Tropical Fruit Farm. They're also on the web. You can see their pictures. They have a great website. And the capital of Penang is called Georgetown, which is a very British colonial city, and it's a lot of fun to walk around. There's a King Edward clock tower there. It really sort of harkens back to the old days when they were ruled by Britain, which of course they are no longer. But it's a fun place to go. A lot of shopping as well in Georgetown, if you want to get away from the beach for an afternoon. And for eating, I should say that Gurney Street is the name of the street to eat in on Penang. It is only hawkers. It only opens at 6 o'clock at night, and there's hundreds of hawkers stalls selling all the Indonesian food, all the Malaysian food, Indian food, and it is cheap, really cheap. Like you can buy a whole meal with the coins that are in your pocket from change of your shopping during the day.
Good value.
And it's great fun. Yeah, for anyone who's eaten at hawker stalls in Hong Kong or Japan, you know it's really great fun. It's so fresh. There's such a constant turnover of the food. And the mom and pops who run the little stalls take such pride in their handed down recipes and things that, you know, they're really eager for you to
lots
try
of
all
things.
Their creations.
We're going to continue with that, those thoughts and more on Malaysia with Melanie Reffitt. Stay listening to Travel World.
Across America via satellite.
Travel World will continue. Stay listening.
Travel World Radio Show.
New windows, you know you need them.
From Montreal,
your energy
Canada.
Bills are high. And your home isn't comfortable when your windows are drafty.
Can read. The road to independence, pride, and self-discovery. Every day, thousands of children struggle needlessly. Every day, reading remains the goal, not the reality.
If you're looking for a powerful but simple-to-use home study program that goes beyond a game that hooks children on reading, you want Get Ready, Get Set, Read. Developed by a team of leading educational learning and reading specialists, the Get Ready, Get Set, and Read program guides, inspires, and integrates the best approaches for maximum success and reading results. Make a difference. Call toll-free 1-888-813-7975. Mention this station for a 40% discount. Get Ready, Get Set, Read has an unconditional 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-888-813-7975. 1-888-813-7975. Call today.
Wake up with us.
The new AM America.
Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Buchanan.
Delighted to be there.
Can we get a presidential nominee to not call these surpluses? They're still our taxes. It's an overpayment.
Well, that's exactly right. They're projected surpluses. And what you have here is that the government anticipates collecting more in revenue than it has budgeted. And what it ought to do in that case is not collect the more revenue in the first place, but to leave the money with the American people to whom it belongs.
The new AM America.
We're in your homes every morning.
Much more vocabulary has turned on, you know, this surplus belongs to the government. What should we do with it? In other words, it's some sort of collective pile of money that's sitting there that we inherited, but it comes from American taxpayers and workers. It has not even been collected yet. It is based on a tax scheme which will produce more revenue than the government needs, and we ought not to collect it in the first place.
Pap Buchanan on the line with us.
The new AM
America. Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern.
On this station and Liberty Works.
Liberty Works.
And Liberty Works Radio.
Fly away to faraway places like Malaysia. That's a hell of a journey that Melanie's been taking. I want to just make a quick comment about our friends over at AM America. I like those new promos, but the show really, really rocks.
Great program.
Pat Buchanan on the air with him. That's a cool interview. Kudos to Bob and Lisa and for
the
that.
Whole staff. The whole staff does a great job.
Everybody, the whole support staff.
Tune in every morning, Monday to Friday, 6 a.m.
right
here.
Back to Melanie and Malaysia.
Malaysia. And the number we were talking about, JW Marriott in Kuala Lumpur, 1-800-259-3228. At the Legend Hotel, 1-800-537-8255. 8483. And after Penang, Melanie, you went on to another island, and one that's often probably not that well known by tourists here in North America.
I did. It's a quick hop. It's 30 minutes by air from Penang, and it's called Langkawi. And what's interesting about it is it's where the local Malaysians go for vacation. So it's not overrun with tourists. It's got a lot of Malaysians and tourists. And it truly is, I guess, the definition of the word paradise. Langkawi is actually 99 tropical islands and has a history geologically of about 500 million years.
Very interesting, so yeah. When you don't think of the historical aspect with regards to the development of the area and the geology like that.
No, and they're trying to, I suppose, develop it to be more of a sort of a touristy area, but certainly it's not yet, so I quite recommend it. I should say I found an incredible hotel if anyone is into tropical rainforest. It's called the Andaman, and it's secluded. It's about 45 minutes from the city, but it's built right in the middle of a 50-million-year-old tropical rainforest. It's completely untouched. The hotel, if you can imagine, is literally in the middle of this, so there's monkeys and hornbills and all kinds of wildlife and animals running right outside your window. It's the most elegant, favored by famous movie stars and sports figures, and all kinds of royalty stay there. It's very private and very exclusive and very eco-friendly. It's probably the most environmentally correct hotel in the world. And for anyone into nature, you've got to take a look at this. It's literally in the middle of a rainforest.
They have a website at www.theandaman.com. That's T-H-E-A-N-D-A-M-A-N. For the ecological experience in Malaysia. It's one of those things as well people dream about, to go and be right in the heart of the tropical rainforest.
And me being the resident tree hugger,
you have a lot to see.
I would love a place like that.
What else could you...
You would, Willem. You would truly love a place. You would appreciate it, actually, for what they're trying to create with this hotel, how they're so protective of the natural environment that nothing is disturbed for the hotel, yet the hotel is so elegant and so lovely to stay in, but the forest is the primary concern of the hotel owners. So it's really, really an interesting place to see how nature and development can work side by side like that.
And other than staying in your hotel room or being on the beach, what else can you do?
I would suggest two things to do. It's a bit sleepy, Langkawi. There's a capital Tua. There's not a whole lot to do there, but it's nice to explore for an afternoon. There's also something called the Galleria Perdana, and it's a place where the Prime Minister of Malaysia puts every gift ever given him by a world leader. I don't think there's any other generous prime minister in the world. Most of them keep the gifts in their own house. But this Prime Minister of Malaysia, who's been in office since 1982, puts everything in there. There's 2,500 items. You see anything from, there's a lot of Canadian sculpture in there given by our government, and all of the American gifts. There's even a car in there given by a Japanese government, I believe. So that's kind of a nice excursion. And basically, as you said, Stephen, you just hang around in Langkawi. If you're at the Andaman, and you really don't want to venture too far away. There's everything to do there. There's golf and all kinds of water sports and nature walks and gourmet food. So you're pretty satisfied all around.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's enough to do and see and eat in Malaysia that you could stay there for years, and I'm sure you would like to, but are there any particular better times of the year to go, one over the other?
Well, as I said earlier, there's so many, such a wonderful mix of ethnicities and so many festivals and celebrations attached to each that there's many times you can go for a particular holiday of some sort. Chinese New Year, as we know, is coming up the end of this month, and that's a huge celebration in Malaysia. That would be very fun to go that time of year. There's the Tour de Langkawi, which is like the Tour de France. It's a 10-day international bike race, and that happens in March, which is really a lively time to go to Langkawi. And talk about colorful, in June is the Malaysian International Kite Festival, which is incredible, which is really, really a great time to go. There's the Grand Prix race that's in March. It's the Formula One Grand Prix, and Kuala Lumpur comes alive every year with the Formula One. So
that's
you
cool.
can check. Yeah, and you can check the website as well and see what other festivals are there. There's so many that there will be for sure one of interest. Or you can go anytime because the weather is always consistently great and there's always things to do over there. But sometimes it's fun to time it with an event or a festival that you might be particularly interested in.
And merge your interests with the local people as well. That website for Tourism Malaysia is tourism.gov.my, and numbers where you can actually speak to somebody at Tourism Malaysia if you're in Canada, 1-800-324-7000. 1-888-689-6872. On the East Coast of the United States at 800-558-6787. Western U.S., 1-800-336-6842. And, of course, these numbers will be posted at www.twc.ca. And while in Kuala Lumpur, you travel around with Tulip Tours. You recommend asking for James the Tour Guide.
And I do. He knows everything, and he doesn't care if you fire questions away a mile a minute, which, as you guys know, I'm rather good at.
Well, he hasn't met Willem yet either, the unanswered questions.
Between the two of us, they're going to say, okay, all right, enough, no more questions.
No more North Americans. Tulip Tours is 03-4143-3128, local call, long distance to Kuala Lumpur. Well, Melanie, you're off to a place a little closer to home next time, the Florida Everglades. So it doesn't start with M. We tried to send you like to the Keys, which is like Marathon, Florida, and there's a lot of these cities starting with M in Florida.
Not even Miami.
Yes. Well, we've already done Miami, so it wasn't on top of my head, but Marathon or someplace unique that we'd never done. But Florida Everglades for the ecotourism adventure.
What are you going to do there?
I'm going to take a canoe trip, actually, in the Everglades. So that I know you guys will have a lot of fun with quizzing me about taking a canoe trip through the Florida Everglades. So
Steven said something about you going water skiing.
Maybe I will, in fact, and those pictures will definitely not end up on our website.
Yeah, the water skiing in the Everglades. Oh, no. That's another reason to check out the website is for those great pictures.
I can't believe you never heard that one before, UF.
No.
Oh, well, yeah.
Maybe he'll laugh at my joke about speed bumps on the runway.
Oh, yes, I'm 10 years old, 20 years old.
Speed bumps on the runway.
That's why UF is here, is the comic foil to Willem Backus. Melanie Reffes, thanks for joining us this morning with your report on Malaysia. Look forward to hearing about the Florida Everglades around 6 weeks' time.
My pleasure, and have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll talk real soon.
Thank you. And coming up next week, Sandra Phillips, Smart Shopping Montreal. She's been on a motor coach tour of Great Britain. So what there is to see and do in Great Britain, off-season travel, and the experience of motor coach travel. It's not the bus tours of yesteryear. They've changed for the better, and they're actually quite luxurious and a lot of fun. Not as rushed and point to point. You actually see quite a bit on a motor coach
tour. What do you mean? They're not so Russian no more?
No, Russian. Yeah, yes, I'm Russian from gate 1 to gate 18. And the Ice Hotel, now open near Quebec City, getting a lot of positive press. And over the next couple of weeks, we hope to be able to send Lilia Police there to actually freeze and report back. That'll be fun, too. I'm looking forward to that report.
Gee, that's great, Steve. Your girlfriend on a block of ice.
That gives new meaning to certain words, but I won't mention them here.
The ice queen.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully.
Oh, she's a sweet lady.
Hopefully we'll be up to Tucson, Arizona, aboard America West. I haven't flown America West. Vic flew them around 10 years ago and found them very helpful, very friendly, and one of America's national carriers. So only been in business for around 15, 18 years. So I'll be reporting back on America West Airlines. Tucson, Arizona, getting together with Vic Phillips, Cynthia Fodor. Hey, annual trip to a place a little that captures the essence of America, and a great place to go in the cold winter months, Arizona, for the beautiful sunrises and sunsets, the desert vegetation. Hey, Arizona is for me.
That's for sure. As long as it. And ending in E.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No. What did you think? What were you thinking? Your mind is always in the gutter, Mr. Backus.
That is, of course.
Yes.
That's my job. My last girlfriend said I had international arms. I had Russian hands and Roman fingers, or Roman hands and Russian fingers.
Thanks for joining us this week. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Neil Terrell.
Take care. Join us again. Travel World is produced in Montreal by the NASCOR Marketing Company. And as always, we love you, Bonnie.
This is the Liberty Works.